Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Prabhupada, 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 We'll see if there is the internet. Then we'll ask further. Mateci prima mangeri. She will read out the offering of His Holiness Bir Krishna Maharaj, who is also a GBC for Slovenia.
Dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my prostrated obeisances at your lotus feet. All glories to your divine grace. One of the many challenges we face in the expansion of our Krishna consciousness movement is the diversity of viewpoints that manifest in executing and spreading Krishna consciousness. Of course, you were well aware of this and advised us. In the material world, there are varieties, but there is no agreement. In the spiritual world, there are varieties, but there is agreement. That is the difference. The materialists, without being able to adjust the varieties and the disagreements, make everything zero. They cannot come into agreement with varieties. But if we keep Krishna in the center, then there will be agreement in varieties. This is called unity in diversity. I'm therefore suggesting that all our men meet in Mayapur every year during the birth anniversary of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. With all GBC and senior men present, we should discuss how to make unity in diversity. But if we fight on account of diversity, then it is simply the material platform. Please try to maintain the philosophy of unity in diversity, that we make our movement successful. One section of men have already gone out. Therefore, we must be very careful to maintain unity in diversity and remember the story in Aesop Fables of the father of many children with a bundle of sticks. When the father asked his children to break the bundle of sticks wrapped in a bag, none of them could do it. But when they removed the sticks from the bag and tried one by one, the sticks were easily broken. So this is the strength in unity. If we are bunched up, we can never be broken. But when divided, then we can become broken very easily. This is from Srila Prabhupada's letter to Kirtanananda, October 18, 1973. You use this phrase, unity in diversity, in different contexts. First, that the Lord has both a personal and impersonal aspect. Second, that there is unity in the diverse manifestations of the spiritual realm and of the material realm. Third, that everything is simultaneously and inconceivably one with and different from God, Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. Fourth, that our devotees come from different backgrounds but have one purpose. Fifth, that different varieties of food all have the single purpose of nourishing the body. And sixth, that we should strive to keep the movement together in spite of different viewpoints. There is tension between unity and diversity in many areas of our Krishna conscious lives. This may be in reference to different services in the Krishna consciousness movement. One may consider his or her service to be most important. In relationship to preaching, there are also many different approaches. For example, one may consider his or her approach to be more productive, whereas others may consider that approach to be a deviation. There are diverse opinions concerning management, for example, whether it should be centralized or decentralized. The subject matter of raising children may also be contentious, etc., etc. If we try to impose too much uniformity, we lose individual initiative, creativity, inspiration, dynamism. The ability to attract diverse segments of the population and the very spirit of Krishna consciousness. If we allow too much diversity, we break apart, become spiritually weak, and deviate from your vision of changing the direction of this materialistic civilization. Srila Prabhupada, you informed us that nothing external can impede the progress of the Krishna consciousness movement, but that our internal conflicts, if not handled with the understanding of unity in diversity, can be a major impediment. Unalterable principles need to be understood and followed. Mature devotees should ascertain and accept details that can be adjusted according to time, place, and circumstance. Doing this is a challenge we face in serving your lotus feet. We should appreciate one another and have loving relationships with one another, regardless of different opinions concerning adjustable details. Srila Prabhupada, I pray that you allow us to have the intelligence to understand these points and apply them. Your servant, Bir Krishna Das Goswami.
Thank you. Next we will invite Radha Govinda Prabhu. Now, finally found the offering of His Holiness Indrajuna Maharaj. Please.
The most appropriate plan. Dearest Srila Prabhupada, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to you. This year marks the 123rd anniversary of your appearance in this world. Somehow, by the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord, I am connected to you through initiation as one of your spiritual sons. This can never be disputed in the chronicles of time, because on December 10th, 1971, you wrote the following to my temple president. I beg to acknowledge receipt of your letter dated December 22, 1971, along with the beads and letters from several devotees at Detroit Temple. I am very glad to accept these students as my duly initiated disciples, and their names shall be as follows. Brian Tibbets, Indrajumna Das. Elaine Tibbets, Kripamayi Dasi. Heidi Paeva, Hri Shakti Dasi. These are all very nice boys and girls, and I have very much appreciated their attitudes of devotion and surrender as displayed in their letters to me. I have replied them under separate cover. Their beads, duly chanted upon by me, are sent under separate post. I hope this meets you in good health and cheerful mood. Your ever well-wisher, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Srila Prabhupada, I consider December 10th, 1971, the day you wrote to accept me as your disciple, to be my actual birthday, for it was on that day that I began my spiritual life in earnest. In a lecture in Vrindavan, you quoted a verse that corroborates this perspective. Janame janame sabe pita mata pai, Krishna guru nahi mile bhaja hari e. Under ordinary circumstances, one's own father and mother are worshipable, but in every species one gets a father and mother. Far rarer is to get Guru and Krishna. The spiritual master can bestow prema bhakti to those who have attained his mercy. Therefore, he is the topmost father, mother, and friend of everyone. End of quote. Srila Prabhupada lecture, September 9, 1975, Vrindavan. Verse quoted from Prema Vivarta by Jagadananda Pandit. Coincidentally, In that initiation letter, you expressed your desire for Krishna conscious festivals to be held far and wide, a statement that planted a seed in my heart. Quote, I am pleased by your festival plan for the colleges all over the state. Actually, this roving Sankirtan and college program is the most appropriate plan for spreading Krishna consciousness and preaching. I have just received intimation from Rupanuga of a very large festival he is planning for Central Park. His conjecture is very nice, and I want that many such festivals should be held in every city. End of quote. You then gave a hint as to how to organize such festivals. I have one suggestion. Make a tent in that backyard garden to accommodate many guests and provide profuse prasadam to all. As the years went by, I often meditated on those instructions and worked on developing and expanding the idea of holding large outdoor festivals to accommodate many guests and provide profuse prasadam to all. Srila Prabhupada, you will be very pleased to know that this year we distributed over 160,000 plates of delicious prasadam from our Food for Peace tent at the Polish Woodstock Festival. That was as profuse as we could manage at this moment in history. I want to continue expanding on your desire to hold such festivals in as many cities as possible, and I am confident I can do it, for inherent in the spiritual master's instruction is the secret to success. You once said, I took that order of my spiritual master very seriously, but I did not think that I'll have to do such and such thing. I was at the time a householder. But this is the arrangement of Krishna. If we strictly try to serve the spiritual master's order, then Krishna will give us all facilities. That is the secret. Purport on the CD entitled Prayers to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. I am very happy doing this service for you, Srila Prabhupada, along with a dedicated team of disciples, friends and well-wishers. I cannot think of anything else I'd rather do. To be frank, I feel I am already back home in the spiritual world by doing this service. I was elated to read a comment recently by Srila Baladevi Vidyabhushan, which confirmed my sentiment. He writes that the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya are especially appreciable in the material world because of the dark backdrop of material existence which doesn't exist in the spiritual world. He gives the example that when a diamond sits on a black cloth, its brilliance is more pronounced. My dear Lord and Master, though I know our goal is to go back home, back to Godhead, I am hesitant to ask for your blessings to go there when I have not adequately fulfilled your desire in this world for a roving Sankirtan party and festivals to be held in every city. You clearly describe such outreach programs as the most appropriate plan for spreading Krishna consciousness and preaching. Of course, all the programs you introduced are most appropriate for the people of this age. I feel so fortunate that on the day of my spiritual birth, you gave a hint as to which one I could take up. I stand ready and willing to execute your plans for many births to come. This sentiment is one I have imbibed from you, Srila Prabhupada, for you are the foremost of all preachers in this world. Just this morning I came across a purport in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in which I felt you were speaking directly to me. Quote, after being initiated and receiving the orders of the spiritual master, the disciple should unhesitatingly think about the instructions or orders of the spiritual master and should not allow himself to be disturbed by anything else. This is also the verdict of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who, while explaining a verse of Bhagavad Gita, points out that the order of the spiritual master is the life substance of the disciple. The disciple should not consider whether he is going back home, back to Godhead. His first business should be to execute the order of his spiritual master. Thus, a disciple should always meditate on the order of the spiritual master, and that is perfectional meditation. Not only should he meditate upon that order, but he should find out the means by which he can perfectly worship and execute it. Srimad Bhagavatam 4.24.15 purport. Surely it will take many lifetimes to implement such festivals in every city, especially now in the age of Kali. But whatever challenges there are, whatever austerities are involved, and whatever inconveniences I might suffer, these are a small price to pay for the precious and incomparable gift you have bestowed upon me in this lifetime. Each morning upon waking and each night before resting, I slowly repeat the following verse, which serves to remind me of all you have bestowed upon me. Nama Shrishtam Manuma Pisha Chiputra Matrasva Rupam Rupam Tasya Grajam Rupuri Maturim Goshtavatim Radha Kundam Girivaram Aho Radhika Madhavasham Praptoyasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurum Tam Natosmi. I bow down to the beautiful lotus feet of my spiritual master, by whose causeless mercy I have attained the supreme holy name, the divine mantra, the service of the son of Shachimata, the association of Srila Swarup Damodar, Rupa Goswami, and his older brother Sanatana Goswami, the supreme abode of Mathura, the blissful abode of Vrindavan, the divine Radha Kunda and Govardhan Hill, and the desire within my heart for the loving service of Sri Radhika and Madhava in Vrindavan. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Mukta Charita. Srila Prabhupada, my prayer is that the very same verse will be on my lips when I close my eyes for the last time in this life, and that it will manifest again with my within my heart of hearts when I open my eyes for the first time in my next life, wherever that may be in our good Lord's creation. My dear spiritual master, please never leave me. May I always remain by your side, birth after birth, as you traverse the 14 worlds, flooding them with the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness. Like your own spiritual master, you are an ocean of compassion. In glorification of him, you once said, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur came into this world to execute the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he executed it, and when it was required, he left this place and went to another place to do the same business. Lecture on the appearance day of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, February 8, 1977. Srila Prabhupada, I am prepared to join you wherever you go in service to your spiritual master. But should you return to Goloka while I remain here, I am confident that you will not forget me. My connection to you is through the service you wrote about in my initiation letter. To hold large events in the central parks of as many cities as there are on the face of the earth. Then that great when that great task is done, and done well, I will look up to the sky and say, your order has been fulfilled, my dear master. Pray, tell me, what is your next command? Perhaps at that time, you will appear and, taking me by the hand, lead me on to Sri Vrindavan Dham in the spiritual sky. You wrote in a letter to a god brother of mine, my dear Brahmananda, regarding your request for your deliverance from the clutches of Maya, please rest assured of being delivered. So far as I am concerned in relationship with my disciples who are so kindly cooperating with me in the matter of my rendering service to my spiritual master, for them I am always ready to come back from Goloka Vrindavan if they are not delivered along with me. So don't be worried about the clutches of Maya. Be fixed up in your determination and go on serving the Supreme Lord, Krishna, with determination as you are already doing. Srila Prabhupada's letter to Brahmananda, November 15, 1969. The older I get, Srila Prabhupada, the more I feel your personal presence in my life. When I was younger, it was merely a point of philosophy that the departed spiritual preceptor continues guiding the disciple. Now in my old age, as I accept more and more responsibilities on your behalf, that philosophical point has matured into the blissful realization that you are guiding me at every step. You confirmed this many years ago. One of my godbrothers wrote to you, my dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my humble obeisances at your divine lotus feet. We fervently pray that your divine grace continues to remain in this world because we need your personal guidance. Even when Lord Krishna disappeared, Arjuna lost all strength temporarily. You replied, I shall remain your personal guide, physically present or not physically, as I am getting personal guidance from my Guru Maharaj. Letter to a disciple, Vrindavan, July 14, 1977. O Savior of the fallen souls, let me put aside these noble sentiments for now so that the tears of joy they bring forth from my eyes do not disturb my service to you. A letter has just arrived on my desk with an invitation to do a festival in Ukraine. This is a conjecture, as you put it in my initiation letter, that will certainly prove very nice. I pray to always maintain the same attitude of devotion and surrender as displayed in my original letter to you, so that I may develop all the good qualities necessary to fulfill your every order. Samadhi Satka Prada Vibhava Bhyam Subhakta Dana Vrata Dikshita Bhyam Ramadhavangri Sthira Bhakti Dabhyam Namu Nama Shri Guru Paduka Bhyam. I offer obeisances to the two shoes of my Guru, which are initiated in the vow of giving beautiful devotional realizations to the disciple, which bestow fixed devotion unto the feet of the husband of Lakshmi Devi, and which bestow all good qualities unto the disciple. Guru Paduka Stotram, verse 7. In the dust of your lotus feet, your servant, Indradyumna Swami.
Next we'll invite Viragopal Prabhu to present and read out offering of His Holiness Krishna Kshetra Swami Maharaj.
Dearest Srila Prabhupada, friend of the poor in spirit, I offer myself at your feet, which are like luminous lotus flowers bestowing the light of knowledge that brings sight to blinded eyes. Years ago, at the end of a lecture, you gave in the city of Los Angeles, City of Angels, Los Angeles. I was surprised to hear you speaking of the French medieval Saint Joan of Arc. When a woman asked you whether there was anyone similar to Joan of Arc in Bhagavatam, you first affirmed that you were familiar with her and then replied in a general and inclusive way, any activities of devotees, that is Srimad Bhagavatam. You then explain the literal meaning of the word Bhagavata as pertaining to Bhagavan and concluded, so Bhagavata can be expanded to any unlimited. So anything in relationship with God, that is Bhagavatam. So if Joan of Arc, she was in relationship with God, she is also Bhagavatam. You should expand Bhagavatam in this way. Yes. Lecture on Shri Sad Goswami Ashtaka, Los Angeles, 18th of November, 1968. Revisiting these words of yours, these many years later in printed form, I am no less surprised than when I first heard them. Yet my surprise turns to wonder as I consider your advice at the end of your reply to the unnamed woman. You should expand Bhagavatam in this way, yes. The first wonder is that you suggest that the Bhagavatam might be expanded. To me, it points to the commentarial tradition which you so expertly and richly extended with your Bhaktivedanta purports. Such expansion is inclusive. You include the insights of previous acharyas. You include your own insights. And you invite readers to draw on their own life experiences as ways to affirm the truth expressed in the Bhagavatam. You also encourage and expect devotees to expand the Bhagavatam by following your example of reading and then expounding on it in morning classes, discussing its meaning from all angles of your vision. Your suggestion of how to expand the Bhagavatam is also a wonder. So if Joan of Arc, she was in relationship with God, she is also Bhagavatam. Here you suggest that reading the Bhagavatam is a dynamic process in which it is possible and indeed necessary to find and appreciate how persons not explicitly included in the ancient text of Srila Vyasadeva can be seen as participating in what you once called the descriptions of the Lord's devotees in ancient India, as it is not a geographically or ethnically circumscribed work. Rather, the Bhagavatam, as you hint in this discussion, challenges us to think broadly, to see it as a dynamic, living text, and that it to be inhabited as we read, and to realize its transformative import. I am reminded of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's joyful exclamation upon hearing King Prataparudra recite a verse from the 10th canto's Gopi Gita. Buri aha, buri da. You are the most munificent. You are the most munificent. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhalila 14:14. Mahaprabhu saw the king, despite his apparent disqualification due to being engaged in worldly duties, as one to be acknowledged and even celebrated as a participant in the spirit of Bhagavatam, a spirit epitomized by the gopis in their pure love for Krishna. I pray for your blessings so that I may imbibe some portion of this, your magnanimous vision of Srimad Bhagavatam's inclusiveness, and may be your instrument in helping others appreciate and enter deeply into the glorious literary work of Vyasadeva's genius, which you so lovingly translated and elaborated to benefit and bless us all. Serving your lotus feet, Krishna Kshetra Swami.
Next, Vrindavan Bihari will read out offering of His Holiness Sachinandana Maharaj. And then next offering will be from Japataka Maharaj.
Dear Srila Prabhupada, Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Your transcendental gifts are always offered to us disciples, in fact, to all who come to you. You give these gifts freely and continuously, and the supply is never exhausted, just like the water of the Ganga or the rays of the sun. Our only task is to receive your mercy. The river analogy. I once heard an analogy that likens the flow of water in a pristine river to the instructions flowing from the mouth of the pure devotee. How can one best obtain and benefit of such river water? Simply bring a clay pot and hold it in the right position. Similarly, we will best profit from our guru's instructions when we bring the pot of our faithful dedication and firmly hold it to catch the flow of His instructions. Easy. And the larger our pot, the greater our faithful dedication, the more benefit we will obtain. Without the pot of our dedication, the water of the Guru's pot and teachings will simply pass us by. The sun analogy. To benefit from the light of the sun, one must stand in the right place, not in the shadow or dark cave. In this regard, you wrote, the mercy of the spiritual master is always there, but we have to take it. The sun is there for everyone, but we must at least stand in a receptive place to get the benefit. Letter to Kadamba Kanana, 8 December 75. To me, standing in receptive place means to stand where sadhana, seva and good sangha are going on. Always there, more merciful than the Ganga and the sun. The accessibility of your personality far surpasses that of the Ganga or the sun because you are driven by a deep sense of compassion for the fallen souls. A compassion that often made you go so far out of your way. You let the fixed course of deep river bed-like traditions and extended yourself to us even when confronting our Western shadows. And this amazing quality of your unbounded compassion transcends past, present and future. You revealed this at various times, such as in the following two letters. I shall remain your personal guide, whether I am physically present or not. Letter to Tamal Krishna Goswami, 14 July 77. You do not require to worry, as I shall never leave you. You are my disciples and I am your spiritual master. So there is no question, as long as you follow my instructions, that I shall never leave you. Letter to Bhakti Jana, 21st September 72. Your gifts to me, the Supreme Holy Name, the Divine Mantra, a place in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's merciful mission, the Holy Dham, the desire in my heart for the service of the divine couple Sri Sri Radha Madhava in Vrindavan. I have heard that Acharyas are very merciful on their divine and happy appearance days. Today I stand before you, a disciple who is not always good, and beg you, please remain kind to me. Please know that I am sincerely looking for a bigger container to catch more of your mercy and for a way to leave once and for all my habitual place in the shadows. Please give me the strength to follow up on your open invitation to surrender with my entire being. These words of yours touch my soul in an increasingly deep way. What is surrendering? Krishna, I forgot you for so many births from time immemorial. Now I surrender unto you. Please accept. This simple method will make you liberated if you do it sincerely, without any reservation. Lecture, Gorakhpur, 18 February 71st. With the deepest of gratitude, Shachinandan Swami.
Next, the offering of His Holiness Japataka Maharaj will be read out by Sevakun Jamataji. Hare Krishna. Next, offering of His Holiness Radhana Swami.
My dear spiritual father, Srila Abhay Charan Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, please accept my respectful obeisances. Namam Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Sarasvati Deva Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschate Deshatarine. On your Vyasa Puja, I would like to offer you my humble homage. You have blessed me with your divine association and picked me up from the pool of material conditioned life, the ocean of birth and death. You have given me the holy Dhamma of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, many other countless blessings too. You have given me many instructions to fulfill for realizing your mercy on the world. You could have stayed in Vrindavana and gotten your spiritual emancipation, but you accepted great risk and austerity to carry out the order of your spiritual master to preach the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the Western world. I was blind, thinking that serving my senses was the goal of life, but you showed me how serving Sri Sri Radha Madhava, Sri Sri Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the actual purpose of life, and that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is my only shelter. In this way, you gave real meaning to my life and enabled me to taste real happiness for the first time. Over the last 12 years, I have had many health challenges. I was trying to carry out your instructions despite these challenges, but in early 2018, the doctors told me that unless I had a liver and kidney transplant within 3 to 5 months, I would reach a point of no return and would leave my body. So, wanting to try to fulfill some more of your instructions in the letter, in the later part of last year, I got a liver and kidney transplant, and by the time of your Vyasa Puja this year, 1 year will have passed. I would like to see Sri Sri Radha Madhava, the Ashtasakis, Mayapur Chandra, the Panchatattva, and Prahlad Nrisimhadev established in the new temple of the Vedic Planetarium. I would like to see the Vedic Planetarium up and running. Also, you instructed me to develop the Navadvip Mandala Parikram and Gaura Mandala Bhumi and facilitate the unification in some form or other of the Sarasvat disciplic succession. You also wanted me to expand the outreach of Krishna consciousness unlimitedly by establishing and expanding the congregational preaching in ISKCON while seeing to the mass distribution of your transcendental literatures. You wanted me to guide and care for the disciples you have sent me so that they can be useful in spreading your message and achieve success in their lives. You said that I shall stay in Mayapur and work through my assistants, and later you said that I should also travel around the world since that is the duty of all sannyasis. But now my traveling days are challenged. And there were many other things you instructed me to do. You once said to me, I have given you the spiritual world, so now you develop it. When we just had 5 devotees in Mayapur, you said that eventually we would have a city of 50,000 devotees. Right now we have over 5,000, so gradually your prediction is taking shape. I have written several memoirs, but the more I write, the more I remember. Also, I'm trying to write the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. They are recounted in various books. Of course, there is no limit to his pastimes, but at least I want to give some more extended experience of how wonderful Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda and their associates are. You have given yourself to all of us and given the Vani of Lord Chaitanya. I appreciate how you have engaged me in his service and thus kept me away from the clutches of the illusory energy. So on this sacred day, commemorating your appearance, known as Nanda Mahotsava, the day after Janmashtami, I beg for your continued mercy and glorify you for the unlimited mercy you have showered upon us all. All glories to your divine grace, your insignificant disciple, Jayapata Kaswami.
Next offering is by His Holiness Radhana Swami, read out by Mataji Prema Gopi.
Dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my heartfelt obeisances. This year, we are grateful to present you a very special offering. For the first time since 1930, devotees have been entrusted with the full care of the rooftop terrace of number 1 Uladanga Junction Road in Calcutta. The divine pastime that took place here in 1922 is our very life and soul. It was here that you first met your eternal Guru Maharaj, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur Prabhupada. At the commencement of that first meeting, a seed was planted in your heart. Your Guru Maharaj instructed you to spread the love of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu throughout the world in the English language. The seed of this instruction germinated in your heart for 43 years. Then, in 1965, it sprouted as you left India on the cargo ship Jaladuta. You taught us that when you arrived in New York City, you had nothing except a crate of your translation of Srimad Bhagavatam and this instruction of your Guru Maharaj. Soon, that seed grew into a glorious desire tree with hundreds of branches around the world and millions of flowers in the form of your loving devotees. These flowers have distributed hundreds of millions of the same seeds in the form of your books, Harinam Sankirtan, Prasad distribution, and numerous other outreach activities. In 1922, the house on Ultadanga was called Bhaktivinoda Asana. It was the place where your Guru Maharaj began the outreach of his Gaudiya Math. In March of this year, we acquired this historic but sadly neglected property. Days after, I sat on the rooftop terrace and in my heart's meditation, I could almost see, hear and feel your interaction with your Guru Maharaj, an exchange that would fulfill the prophecy of Lord Chaitanya and would forever change the world. I am praying that devotees from all over the world will come here to have this experience. On many occasions, you spoke about these pastimes. I was very happy to be defeated by my Guru Maharaj. At that moment, I accepted Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur as my eternal master. I took this order of my Guru Maharaj as my life and soul. My only qualification is that I have tried to carry out the instruction of my Guru Maharaj. In 1973, in Los Angeles, on the appearance day of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, you spoke about this event. The words you spoke at that time have awakened in me a profound appreciation for all my God brothers and God sisters, especially for your beloved Gunagrahi Goswami Maharaj, who certainly departed in Vrindavan. You revealed your heart to your followers. What he desired, I am trying little bit, and you are all helping me. So I have to thank you more. You are actually representative of my Guru Maharaj, crying, because you are helping me to execute the order of my Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much. We are hopeful that in 2022, on the 100th anniversary of this historic first meeting with your Guru Maharaj in Calcutta, the temple of the Vedic Planetarium in Sri Dhammayapur will be inaugurated. It will be an offering of love and gratitude to you by the worldwide community of devotees, with special thanks to Ambarish Prabhu. Dear Srila Prabhupada, the oceans you cross to give us Krishna consciousness are like insignificant puddles compared to the limitless oceans of your love for Radha Govinda Dev and your compassion upon all living beings. I pray that it is forever remembered that the only qualification of all your followers for all generations is their deep appreciation for you and your shoreless ocean of compassion. Helplessly praying for your mercy, a servant of your servants, Radhanath Swami.
There are many, many, many more offerings in this Vyasa Puja book, which will be set on the Prabhupada's Vyasasan after this program, so you can read. You can read out many more in your free time. Now, we'll before to proceed for the further program, we'll read last one. This is the offering of our temple. And Jagannath Sutta Prabhu will read it out. And then we will, His Holiness Kadama Karanaj will take over.
Our dear most Srila Prabhupada, please accept our most humble obeisances. All glories to your lotus feet. Here in Slovenia, the devotees are most thankful to your divine grace for frequently sending us senior devotee association in the form of your disciples and other faithful followers, gurus, guides, and mentors. By your mercy and the mercy of our deities, Sri Panchatattva and Sri Sri Goranitai, we are putting our full efforts in spreading the message of Lord Chaitanya to our fellow countrymen by distributing your books and organizing yearly padayatras, holy name festivals, retreats, etc. In July 2018, the 18th day Padayatra was held in Ljubljana, Slovenia's capital. By the efforts of Lalita Govindadas, our most senior devotee, this was already our 17th consecutive Padayatra. With our special traveling deities, Shri Shri Nitai Goranataraj, we performed Harinam Sankirtan from street to street and distributed books and prasadam. We also visited two tourist towns, the Alpine town of Bled and the seaside town of Portoroz. During Padayatra, 1,200 transcendental books were distributed. During the December marathon, 178 devotees were engaged in book distribution. For your pleasure, they distributed 13,369 transcendental books and 29,716 pieces of prasadam. In all of 2018, we distributed a total of 17,134 books. In August last year, 50 devotees attended the 5-day Japa Kirtan retreat in the woods of Pohari. Your beloved spiritual daughter, Narayani Devidasi, was our spiritual guide and inspirer. For your pleasure, dear Srila Prabhupada, we have also translated and published in Slovenian the first part of Krishna book and Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers. In addition to these occasional services, we try to inspire devotees and people in general with our regular Sunday love feasts, Sunday school for children, regular Saturday Harinam Sankirtan in downtown Ljubljana, and regular devotee sanghas. We are also trying to establish devotee care through a mentorship system and a Grihastha support team. We put a lot of emphasis on the systematic study of your books, and so we host Bhaktivedanta and Bhakti Shastri courses. Since we are well aware of our complete dependence on the mercy of the Holy Name, we organized 4 Holy Name festivals in 2018. Your devotees at New Yoga Pit, ISKCON's Temple, Ljubljana, Slovenia.
Now we will give microphone to His Holiness Kadamba Kana Maharaj to enlighten us on the meaning of Yasa Puja in connection with Srila Prabhupada.
It was nice to hear the various offerings of our senior leaders, because we could see how each of them was serving Srila Prabhupada. Bir Krishna Maharaj, he wrote as a GBC, as a governing body commissioner, about the difficulty in governance of a society, and how to, on the one hand, create space for individuals so that everyone would be inspired to make a contribution and to allow for individual initiative and diversity, and yet also to bring unity. Mm-hmm. And quoted Srila Prabhupada. Mm. Krishna Kshetra Maharaj, he was writing about exploring the meanings of Srimad Bhagavatam. And in this way, exploring the understanding and expanding the understanding of what Krishna consciousness is. This is interesting. How that's another contribution in another field. Inda Jumna Maharaj spoke about the mission and just completely fixed on that mission. Big festivals everywhere, all over the world, in every city, forever. Kind of thing. And he's doing it. And Sachinanda Maharaj, with his usual creative, poetic style, came with a description of a river of instruction, and how, unless one approaches that river with a pot to receive some of the water of the river, unless one has the pot, the water will just pass by. So he emphasized the need to make an effort to take the instructions of the spiritual master, and to take at least something and make a contribution. Jayapataka Maharaj just once again showed that nothing, that he's unstoppable, even amidst of total health breakdown, he keeps on going. Develop Mayapur, it takes a broad person, a broad-minded person like him with a big heart to develop a spiritual city in Mayapur and travel around the world and bring people to Mayapur. And that is his, that became his life. Radhanath Maharaj is doing so much. He is instrumental everywhere. Now being part of obtaining Ultadanga Road, the place where Srila Prabhupada first met his spiritual master, and which was a little Gaudiya Math at the time. So all these servants of Srila Prabhupada have made a connection with him in his, and taken up part of his greater mission. Prabhupada's mission is to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, and he tirelessly did so, and laid the foundations. He attracted so many men. Even in the beginning, he was asking so many things. One of the more recent contributions has been the film made by Yadubar Prabhu, which is a special film because somehow or other Yadubar came as a young man, as a journalist, to write an article about Prabhupada. And he was a photographer and a filmer. So then he started to, for the article, take pictures of Prabhupada. And as he did, he became impressed by Prabhupada, so much so that he also decided to start some filming. And as he was filming Srila Prabhupada, over the years he used that footage to produce movies or clips, and there are a whole variety of material that he has made available to all of us. In this last movie, he has really captured a few points that I find interesting. One is that when Srila Prabhupada was just there with a small group of disciples, maybe 20 of them, right, who were all just approaching 20, right, so rather young, right, and Prabhupada said, each one of you should open a temple. And Rukmini was there, and she was 16 years old, and she said, even the girls? And Prabhupada said, on the spiritual platform, there is no difference. So there she was, 16 years old, with an instruction open a temple, just discovered Krishna consciousness the day before. I mean, how broad-minded was Prabhupada? How great his vision? And that vision was basically covered everything, because Krishna consciousness for every single person on the planet. Prabhupada would make statements like that. Bhagavatam should be placed in every house on the planet. Every house on the planet. All right. 1,200 books on Padayatra. How to fulfill these instructions? We can feed the entire world. How? One day we'll engage half the world to feed the other half. And the next day we'll get the second half to feed the first half. Might say, like, how is this possible? All right, Prabhupada gave a system. Now we just have to convince half the world to feed the other half. Just a little mission. So like this, he set these goals. He set these his desires. Yes, he encouraged everyone who came and served according to their nature, according to their ability. And then it didn't end. It didn't end in 1977 when Srila Prabhupada departed. That also is another aspect in Yadubar's movie that I really liked. The way the movie begins is it begins sort of low-key. You know, it's sort of, it starts, nothing dramatic happens, it's just Prabhupada, the usual, he's trying to go to the West and trying to make a beginning, a little bit about his early life and so on, his childhood and growing up with Radha Govinda in Calcutta, a little bit about his father being a devotee and doing puja, a little bit like how his father wanted him to be a preacher, about a childhood Ratha Yatra. And these things are basically the elements of, standard elements of Prabhupada's biography. But then after a while, the movie is really catching momentum, and we're seeing that now Prabhupada is meeting with Rameshwar and discussing with Rameshwar. Rameshwar was heading up BBT, and Rameshwar was managing therefore a lot of money that came from the book distribution. And Prabhupada would tell him, send money here, and no, not alone there. The money should be first for printing, and then if there's any excess, then for construction, then loans, then temples. And you can see that he was managing a dynamic movement which was coming up around the world. In this way, one can see. Then the movie, too quick already, it comes to Prabhupada's departure from this world. Too quick. And then there is a moment break, and then it starts with a display of what is going on now after Prabhupada. And you see quick images of some of the major temples around the world and some of the current achievements, and you hear Madhava singing and so on. And it is just, it is that what is also going on. Prabhupada is present now. And Prabhupada's mission is going on now. And the opportunities are there now. Everyone can make a relationship with Srila Prabhupada. And we see that Prabhupada was, on the one hand, involved in reaching out to the population of the world, but in the other sense, he was also instructing how to live a domestic life and how family life should be conducted and how a model family life could look like and how a model family life was also establishing Krishna conscious. Prabhupada was in all the cities of the world, but Prabhupada was also in the farms and told them they could grow, they could make castor oil and use that for lamps. In other words, no electricity on the farms. Not so simple. I don't know if you ever lived without electricity. I did for about 1.5 years at one point in my life. I chose no electricity. In India also plenty of no electricity. That was no choice though. But yes, Prabhupada was ready to deal with the present. Prabhupada was ready to deal with the future. He was the one who said that his books are the law books for mankind for the next 10,000 years. So that fixes it. That simply, here we have it. The guidelines of what to do. This is our connection, somehow or other. Yes, we heard offerings from Srila Prabhupada's disciples. They're old. How much longer will they be with us? Jai Pataka Maharaj just goes on after liver and kidney transplant, but how many transplants? At one day will come the end of life. Just like in the Bhakti Ratnakar, we find a description of Srinivas Acharya, who is trying to meet the six Goswamis, or the remainder of them, but and all the main associates of Mahaprabhu, who are still alive. But on many occasions, he's too late. He just misses them, because that moment is happening. That moment is happening rapidly. Many disciples of Srila Prabhupada are now slowly leaving this world. And with it, the movement carries on. And more, the movement comes in the hands of the next generations. More and more, whatever it is. Whether one studies Srimad Bhagavatam and really, really goes deep into understanding Srimad Bhagavatam, reading it, living it, teaching it, embodying it, or whether one takes over the festivals. Who will do? Who will be? Will it be those who read the offerings who will take over? Who will do it? Somehow or other, will the disciples carry on the individual missions of their gurus, or will others come forward and take it? Somehow or other, whatever was started must continue. Yes, many temples. We saw that in the offerings, some are focusing on temples. And we also heard the temple offering, and we heard about Padyatra, and we heard all the things that are going on from the temples. So many temples, so many things going on. Transcendental touchstone, somehow or other. Whoever gets in touch gets touched. Prabhupada was never one to point at himself. Prabhupada would always present himself as the servant of Krishna and the servant of the pure devotees of Krishna. And yes, pure devotional service, unalloyed, uncompromised, pure devotional service, that was his standard. Simply his standard, nothing less. And that he was living, that he was doing, and that he was teaching. And that is what he was asking for. Prabhupada said, if I could make one pure devotee, I would consider my mission successful. So in this way, pure devotional service was Prabhupada's objective. Prabhupada was speaking to people of other religions. He was saying, it is not my mission to convert anyone. It is my mission to make Christians better Christians, Mohammedans to make better Mohammedans by teaching them the purpose, the real purpose of their religion, which is pure devotional service, unalloyed. That was Prabhupada. He was forceful, but he knew that he couldn't force people. He had, obviously, an extremely powerful personality. Tribhuvanath, who was the early leader in the UK. He was the first temple president in England. And Tribhuvanath somehow or other said that the first time Prabhupada came to the UK, he was chosen to garland Prabhupada. So he stood there with the garland. But when Prabhupada came, his personality was so overpowering, that everyone fell on the floor, including Tribhuvanath. And Prabhupada walked on, and then by the time he got up with his garland, Prabhupada had already gone past. So then he had to climb over all the devotees and somehow or other make it, got the garland on. And Prabhupada gave a lecture, Nasta Prayeshu Vadresu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. And he was speaking about how we should render eternal service to the Bhagavatam. And that by doing so, that almost all impurities will be removed from the heart. So, then, and Prabhupada said, why almost all? Why almost all? He said, because when you are studying scripture, you get so much knowledge and you learn how to adjust your life. But there is one problem, that you become a little proud because of all the learning. Therefore, almost all. And then Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is so simple, you might just miss it. So, it is about what to make of that statement. So simple. Simplicity, Srila Prabhupada then describes as arjavam. He says, arjavam means to be completely honest. To have nothing to hide. That is simple. To have no facade. To just simply be honest. I have oftentimes made the point that honesty and humility are like brother and sister, right? Because when there's honesty, then we'll have to admit that we are not perfect. And when we have to admit that we are not perfect, then we have to admit that we have many faults. And when we admit that we have many faults, then automatically will have to be humble. So, in this way, honesty is the path towards humility, undoubtedly. And Prabhupada, he had his honesty. He was, in that way, transparent, completely transparent. Nothing to hide, nothing. There was no private life and public life. It wasn't like, finally everybody gone, now I can put my feet on the table and sort of relax a little, be a little less strict. In front of everyone else, I'll be strict. Yes, Krishna, Krishna, strict. Now that I'm alone, I can let go a little bit. No. Equally, Satsarup Maharaj wrote the Prabhupada Lilamrita, which was the book that describes Srila Prabhupada's public activities. How he's preaching everywhere, how he's starting temples. And then Harisori wrote the diary. He was the personal servant, so he had so much information about Prabhupada in his room, his personal things. And there were other personal servants. And these personal servants, they developed a deep personal relationship with Srila Prabhupada. Because it was not only about instruction, he lives forever in his instruction and the followers live with him, not that, but also, there was a personal exchange. And Prabhupada was entering into real relationships with people, right? He was ready to deal with anyone on a one-on-one, whoever it was. Whether it was Prabhupada in his early days cutting up an apple in tiny little cubes. And one apple would go around to everyone. Everyone would get a little piece of apple. Right? And one day, this bum off the street came in an aggressive mood and sort of interrupting the whole thing. And Prabhupada was just in the process of cutting the apple. He just cut it into some pieces. And then the man came up to the front. And Prabhupada just put the apple, the pieces of apple, and the knife, both on his hand, and held it out to the man. You take. Everyone held his breath. Everyone was like, oh, what's he going to take? My God, what if he takes the knife? Right? He took the apple. and Prabhupada just had that innocence. That to be real, he wasn't lecturing from a platform, although he could sit on a platform and give a lecture, but not from a mental position of superiority. No, just human, human to human. And yes, sir, please accept our offering. And in this way, Prabhupada relied on Krishna. And whatever, he wasn't attached to the outcome of a situation. Yes, he wanted the situation to be favorable for Krishna, but ultimately he left it up to Krishna. Right? So, therefore no problem. Apple or knife. Right? No problem. If I get killed, then it's Krishna. Not this man. It's Krishna. So, therefore I don't have to worry about it. In this way, he had that deep, deep faith. And as the servant, he was simply helping people. Oh, yes, would you like to do some service for Krishna? Oh, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Please, be welcome. Everyone is welcome to come and do some service for Krishna. Krishna is so nice. Krishna is so wonderful. And Prabhupada would help to everyone to increase their attachment to Krishna, to increase their service to Krishna. And in this way, to move along on the path towards pure devotional service. It is still like that. Now we may have spiritual masters who are guiding devotees today. And we heard from them this morning, from their offerings. But even a spiritual master sits at Prabhupada's feet, is an assistant. Even the greatest amongst leaders in our movement are assisting Prabhupada. And therefore, all of us must come to this point of assisting Prabhupada. Therefore, everyone has a direct relationship with Srila Prabhupada. Right? We don't jump over our spiritual master considering ourselves a better servant of Prabhupada, considering that we understand Prabhupada better. No, we take it. I'm just assisting my spiritual master to serve Prabhupada. But in this way, but very much, we know what pleases the spiritual master. What pleases the spiritual master? Very simple. If one's spiritual master is Prabhupada, try to please him. If one's spiritual master is a disciple of Prabhupada, it's certainly pleasing if we take up some service in fulfilling Srila Prabhupada's desire and his vision. Therefore, now that we are at a time of changing the guards, where the responsibility for this movement goes from one generation to the next and further, now is the time for everyone to get to know Prabhupada. What did he want? What did he desire? At least that what is relevant for us. Maybe we cannot know everything, but at least if we are a cook and we're cooking for the deities, we should know. What did Srila Prabhupada say about cooking for the deities? He said Krishna is a young, hungry boy. Yes. He likes many tasty preparations. He likes kachoris. He likes sabji. He likes puris. He does. And Krishna, he loves the cows. Therefore, Krishna likes milk sweets. So, don't all become vegan, please. I am so sorry to say that, but Srila Prabhupada was not vegan. He was not. He didn't teach us to be vegan. He taught us to take milk sweets. When Giriraj was in India, his mother came from America, Jewish mother. You know, they're very strong mothers. So she goes, look, my son, he is so skinny. Then Prabhupada, yes, I'll make sure he looks after his health. No, I'll definitely look after him. And he's talking to the mother so nicely, and she likes it very much. Then Prabhupada has some sandesh brought in, and he asks her to taste. And this is very nice, very nice. And Prabhupada said, yes, it's very nice, and it is full of protein. And I'll make sure that your son every day, gets these sweets, then he'll become very healthy. Because the mother was saying, he should come back to America. Of course, once he was in America, he should come back to the family, and he should, his father is a big lawyer, he should, she was trying to pull him back on a rope towards the family. And Prabhupada so expertly with milk sweets, solved the issue. I'm not going to lecture more about veganism, but if you read the first canto, it's pretty clear. Milk is a requirement. What can I say? And in America, The milk was mixed with added vitamin D from non-vegetarian substance. And Prabhupada says, don't worry about it. Just take it. It's an emergency. So let us somehow or other, it is now our responsibility to do the hard work. Because Prabhupada is not here personally to tell us everything so that we can sit and sleep through it. No, and sort of half awake hear a few things about from Prabhupada's lips. Now, we can listen to him electronically. Now by Yadubar's grace, we can see the movies that are there. And they're all on YouTube. You can just see it there. No problem. Everything is there. And we can, yes, we have his database. We have the Vanipedia. We have the Vedabase. We have so much access electronically to so many things. I have 20 gigabytes of Prabhupada on my phone. Yes, somehow or other, we have access to Prabhupada. And we should, somehow or other, absorb ourselves into who he was, what he wanted, and simply assist him in this mission to bring pure devotional service to the one Supreme Lord in this world. That can change everything. Today in the news, there was something about satanic people and who were asking for the right freedom of speech, this and that. And they said, someone there made a statement which said that as far as we are concerned, religion is just a mental illness which should be treated better. So we can see the demons are not sitting still. The demons are out there with their propaganda. And Prabhupada pointed out that, yes, we must also, at least some of us, must be out there to establish the that pure devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is real life, and that everything else is just a shadow life and is just empty and is just dry and is just basically missing all the wonderful qualities that are there within human beings. In German, you have a word, abgestumpft, yeah, which I had to say in German just for the sake of getting the mood going. In English, the word is dull. It doesn't quite carry the same intensity. Therefore, I like abgestumpft better, where we have become completely dull and completely lifeless, with no creativity, only concerned about our own little selves and our own little house and our own little world, and everyone is just clashing with everyone else, and good fences make good neighbors, and big dogs are barking on both sides, and everything is locked, and everyone is look. And if you see anything strange, report it, report it. And more cameras are coming. And what is happening in the world? The world is in need of Prabhupada's movement to bring a renewed effort renewed effort. I'll closing now. There have been many, many representatives of the Supreme Lord who come again and again into this world to teach transcendental knowledge. But we see the current state of the world, and we see that whatever spiritual knowledge was there in the past is now not predominant in society. Whatever religious tradition it is, whether it is Jewish, the Judean religions, or whether it is Hinduism or Islam, whatever it is, or it is all watered down. It is all watered down. Where is the substance? A few people left over, but mostly it's dead everywhere. Now the world is lacking real transcendental knowledge and real pure concentrated transcendental knowledge, like boiled down milk with sugar. Yes, which can be offered to Krishna and then just relished. It may, whether it's good for health or not, it's good for spiritual health. So let us in this way go forward and spread the spiritual culture of pure devotional service throughout the world, and simultaneously in our own life. Some may put more emphasis in our own life, and others may put more emphasis in all around the world. Haridas Thakur said that. Some are more into achar, into behavior. Some are more into prachar, into preaching. But we need both. To be followers of Srila Prabhupada, we need both achar and prachar. And now, the responsibility is more and more shifting on your head. It's not going to be the senior devotees who are just going to bring it to you. You're going to be the senior devotees. And you have to, somehow or other, live it and share it with others. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada svyasa puja maha mahatsava ki jai. Ananta kadi vaishnava vinda ki jai. Any questions? Any discussion then? So he says, questions then. That's what he said. Any questions? Or there is a mic on the way.
Hare Krishna, Swami. You just mentioned the vegan is not. I'm not a fanatic vegan. I like the Vedic kitchen. I like the kitchen of Srila Prabhupada. But very often is there the question, oh, but is it vegan? And then I say, well, it's not completely vegan. I mean, when you want to, it might be vegan because you can eat without paneer.
Yeah.
But it's not that nice without paneer. Mm. So when you want to explain them better that it's no use not to drink milk because they say, how should you do this?
I cannot take on the whole vegan issue here today, you know, because that's a long, long, long discussion. But basically, it's a fashion right now. It's a fashion. So in order to bring people in the door, we may give them some vegan preparations. We can have a few vegan ones, a few non-vegan ones, and the vegans can have the non-vegan ones. And maybe one day they're looking at the non-vegan ones and think, that looks nice. Yeah? Some people are vegan for health, whatever it is. I'm not going to enter now into a vegan debate, you know. All I'm saying is Srila Prabhupada was not vegan. That's what I said today, very clearly. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, some people close to me are vegan, and I'm not hammering them over the head, but still, I cannot change it that Srila Prabhupada was not vegan. I'm not vegan either.
Very well.
Yeah. You have to give the mic. You just pass it on. To your this way.
Speak
in the mic.
I was just thinking about the how Prabhupada would never compromise the teachings. For example, like in Japan, how they were going to offer him a temple, but then there was that
house. Yeah.
I was thinking about how you never find a person that whatever they say you can accept 100%. I find that really amazing about the Prophet.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, he would not compromise. Someone offered a house in Japan, Kobe, but for that he would have to flatter the owner and entertain Mayavat, and he wasn't ready to do that.
Right.
So then the house, he never got the house, but he kept his integrity.
Yeah.
Integrity before catering to the audience.
Yeah.
Does anyone else want to make a comment? Yeah, behind you.
I find it very interesting what you mentioned about Prabhupada, that he didn't have the split life of having a private and a public life, because I face it as something which is as a challenge to be so honest.
Yeah. Anyone else? Over there, Dharma.
Thank you, Maharaj. I have a question for you. We heard at the beginning of Vikrishna Maharaj about this unity of diversity. What is your opinion how to make this unity of diversity? And what is really mean to follow Srila Prabhupada essentially?
Okay. Well, the diversity part is easy because we are already diverse. That we don't have to worry about. We are already very different. We're all individuals. It's the unity part that is the difficult part. Now, one thing is very clear to me, that when you try to unify people by legislations, by rules, by trying to limit them, that is difficult. That is difficult. I have not so much faith in that. I think that unity can only be created by inspiration. And Prabhupada did give the rules. He gave the law books, right? So I think we just look at the laws that Srila Prabhupada gave us, the rules that he gave us. And then I think for the rest, we focus on somehow or other bringing people together through inspiration. Yeah. I think that's how we can create unity. Now, as far as diversity, you see, in a spiritual movement like ours, which kind of started in a very monastic way. Everyone in the early ISKCON, everyone moved in the temple. And at one point, in the beginning, there was variety, but at one point it became very streamlined, and everyone looked the same. You know, everyone same dress, everyone same uniform, everyone same hairdo, everyone same, same, same. It became like very much a uniform culture. Right? So when the culture is very uniform, then there's a risk that we all become sheep. Right? That we just don't think and we just go along with whatever the culture is. So we should not become sheep. We should remain independently thinking individuals. We should be conscious. We should know why we're doing what we're doing. Right? So that the diversity can mature. Yeah, that we can become deep and wise individuals. Not that we all become stereotype and everyone thinks as they are supposed to think. In the Rig Veda, there was a description of a group of brahmanas, and it was known as a sakha, a branch. And there were rules given there for these brahmanas, not only how they should speak, right? But there were rules given how they should think. Now that scares me. And then I get scared, right? Now I understand that in the positive sense, I have to think of Krishna, right? But still, diversity means that all of us have to think for ourselves as individuals and try to understand the teachings of the pure devotees and how we can serve Krishna and our spiritual masters who may ask us to do something. Like that. Unity and diversity. Yes. If you pass on the mic, yes.
Thank you, Maharaj, for the lecture. When I saw an old video of old sincere monk asking for help to fulfill the mission of another sincere man, his spiritual master, then it kind of touched my heart. And I said, yes, that should we do in this life. Find a sincere man and try to help him fulfill the sincere mission. But when the same monk becomes a departed leader of a big, well-established and rich movement, then we might feel a little less inclined to help him. How we should deal with such emotions?
Yeah, then we have to find some experienced monks and ask them that question, because they will understand. And they say, yes, I share your feelings. And they say, I understand very well what you mean. That to serve an individual is one thing who touches the heart, but to serve an institution is another, because there sometimes things get formalized and interpreted by people, and things that were set in inspiration become transformed into rules. So that can be difficult. If you are one of those people that are not comfortable with that, some people are very comfortable with that. They feel that this is exactly what they want. It gives them a structure in life. They want that kind of clarity. Others who are more individualistic, they need more space. Good. Then you serve Krishna, and you can do it in your own way. Just like Krishna Kshetra Maharaj is exploring the meanings of the Bhagavatam. Of course, he's very qualified to do so, and he's prepared. He has studied, and he is like systematically doing that. But he is offering us something from his explorations. You know, someone may be painting, yeah, just at home, making paintings of Krishna. And they're giving us insights through their paintings. There are services which you can fill in an individual way. Like yesterday, we saw the play, and we had the story you know, the story of the jewels and the thief and you know, one of the jewels of Krishna, heard about Krishna and so on. But then we had a script writer who filled it in so many ways, right? Who added so many little details and insights and made it like much more rich than a simple story. And then a lot of finer Vaishnav points were coming up in the play. And although we know the storyline, you know, it was a new experience because there were so many new points in there. Right? So that you can do in an individual way. It's an example of how one can serve without having to be so much limited by institutional concerns. So go ahead and make a contribution. Write a book. No? Huh? You're distributing books. So then distribute books. That is something. When you're out on the street, then you're out by yourself, and then there's only Prabhupada, Krishna, and just distribute books. I think there, it's between you and the people. But in other words, there is room to serve Krishna in an individual way. There is. There's no need to feel confined by an institution. There are ways to serve Krishna without being confined. Anyone else? Jai Shishi Panchatat Vikija. Radha Govinda sits next to Matsya. Oh. Jai what? Now that you raised your arm, now you have to say something. That's the rule. What did you mean by Jai?
You said Shishi Panchatattva ki, and I said Jai.
Why you are so impressed by the Panchatattva?
Maybe I was impressed by the way you glorify them.
Why would you be impressed by the way I glorify them? I'm not going to let you off. You have to say something. I'll only stop until you say something of substance.
In the days of yore, when kings would make an edict or a new law, or they would like to inform all the citizens of something, they would write something down or have their scribes write it down and then copy it in many copies, and then they would send their messengers, how to call them, the vicars, or they would ride on their horses all over the country, in all the every city and village, they would come to the main square, roll the scroll open, and they would start yelling, "Lo and behold!" And people would gather, and then they would read loudly the message sent by the king to all the citizens. King wouldn't do it himself, wouldn't be able to. So Krishna wrote a love letter to all of us, and Srila Prabhupada, as his scribe, wrote it down in the form of his books. And now Srila Prabhupada has asked all of his followers for eternity to go on our horses.
Jai.
Or in the vehicles that have some horse powers, and distribute the love letter of Krishna to every nook and corner of this world.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wasn't bad. Anyone else? on this side. Yeah, raise your hand high. Yeah.
Hare Krishna. I joined in the 90s when things, at least here, were more uniform. And it was easier for us coming to the temple to know like how to behave, what to, let's say, chant on Ekadashi, how to dress and everything. And nowadays, I can see young devotees coming to me and being really bewildered. You know, this one does like this, the other one like that, the other one like that. So what should I do now? It's not always easy to know what Srila Prabhupada really right. wanted.
Read the books. I guess nowadays, yes, in the past, in the earlier days of ISKCON, the collective was taking a lot of responsibility for individuals. Everyone could just be part of a culture, a system, and then the individual responsibility was less. Now things have changed. Now there's less collective effort and standard. People don't want this anymore. Things are more individual. And with that, the individual responsibility has grown. So now everyone is individually more responsible to find out what did Prabhupada want. Therefore my answer was, read the books. Yeah, it's the only way. Now we have to find out for ourselves. I call it the Renaissance. You know, once I was staying in a room of Krishna Kshetra Swami in Germany, Simhachala. And there were his books on the shelf. And I was reading this one book from a professor about the history of the Renaissance. It said, Christianity, the history of Christianity in the West, initially there was an inaugurational, inspirational time. Then for a long time, there was the theocratic era where the church ruled. And at that time, if you were too different from the church, you could be burned. Right? Or whatever. And then came the Renaissance. Now ISKCON had its inspirational period with Prabhupada at that time, very strong. And then we had like an institutional period. And it's true, if you were not following properly, one phone call and you could be banned from a zone. And it used to be like that. If you were not following, you know, an additional phone call could be banned from two zones, right? The world was divided in 11 zones. You had to be careful. So if you were speaking too different, you might be banned. So it's a little careful, but there was a strong support system, and everyone knew what to do, and everyone knew what the standards were. Then leaders had difficulties, and then ISKCON went into a new era, the Renaissance. Now, what did our professor write? When Christianity came to the Renaissance, he said, Renaissance is a French word for rebirth. He said, what was reborn? He said, what was reborn is that people started to think again for themselves. And that's what happened in ISKCON. Somewhere, let's say, around the millennium, it really happened. Everyone started to think for themselves. And as a result, everyone had to... It said in the Renaissance, the professor said, because people started to decide for themselves, they had to know more than average about everything so that they could make decisions. And so, it's the same in ISKCON now. Everyone has to know more than average about everything because these days, everyone wants to decide for themselves. In the earlier ISKCON, they would ask, what is the standard? And someone would tell them, oh, that's it. Now, that's rare. Now everyone decides for himself. Yeah. Now, which time is better? Each time has its advantages and disadvantages. The earlier time had the advantage that people would be very clear about a standard and get a very strong support structure. The advantage of this era is that people think things through more individually and maybe become, if they make the right choices, they make them more conscious, right? So both eras have their value, and I think both are part of Krishna's plan for making a movement mature. The Hare Krishna movement is only 50 years old. It's very young for a spiritual movement. And I see a lot of immaturity in this movement. And I see that a lot of growth will be needed before we can actually, as a movement, as an institution, as a church, you know, function in the world, you know, and making it a place where the whole world can live. I think we have to grow up. Right now, I don't know if we have the house where the whole world can live. I'm not sure. We have to really grow up to make it that. Mm-hmm. So I see it as all part of a growing process. Okay. Yeah.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you very much for all your insights. I'm thinking about the importance and the role of uniform and what that might contribute to our sense of belonging to one group. In one sense, it might awaken this tribal kind of togetherness, unity, and belonging. In other sense, like you said, we could feel like sheep. And Carl Gustav Jung was speaking about personal psychology, family psychology, then a kind of society psychology and collective psychology. And I'm wondering how conditioned souls in the West actually conditioned in this culture could connect to a very new culture, a spiritual culture, without having a sense of breaking that tradition and becoming an outcast to your own country.
Yeah.
How to make that unity in the diversity.
Unity and diversity.
Like Hridayananda Maharaj speaks.
Krishna West.
Krishna West, yeah.
Now we have also Afro Krishna.
Yes. Hridayananda Maharaj speaks about there is no such thing as devotional clothes. It's the mood and it's the heart. So how to, I mean.
Of course I disagree with him.
You disagree?
Yes.
Yes, there is such thing as devotional clothes.
Yes. I will tell you.
Okay, thank you. Hi, Krishna.
But I'll tell you more.
Okay.
Yes, whether we wear this particular dress or whether we wear a regular dress which is part of the local culture, that's not the essence. The essence is the internal commitment. We have to really make the internal commitment. But I did say, as I was answering her question, that as we are going away from the more, for one, traditional monastic culture, as we're going away from that and we become more secular and more integrated in society at large, with that the individual responsibility to be Krishna conscious increases. And the collective responsibility decreases. So, okay, when everyone is more in a monastic environment, it creates more a collective responsibility, and it makes it in. One has to do less to be part of it, but it may feel a little suffocating sometimes. Now, what to do? So let us be very conscious that we have to make that internal commitment to come up and serve Srila Prabhupada. He is our standard. That's where we anchor. Right? That's where we anchor. that like ultimately, this way or that way, Krishna West, Afro Krishna, or, you know, like slow, I guess in Slovenia it would become slow Krishna. You know, whether you go for slow Krishna, without the W then, right? Slow Krishna, or Afro Krishna, or Krishna West, whatever it is, you know. Fine. Of course, we've had experiments, you know. We've had one leader who decided to translate the songs and make them more local. In the forest of Vrindavan, where, no more harmonium, guitar. In the forest of Vrindavan, where Radha and Krishna meet. Jaya Radha Madhava. You know. Yeah. So, it takes all kinds, lots of diversity. Let us all, somehow or other, keep in mind that pure devotional service is the objective. Whatever the color your socks are, pure devotional service is the objective. Now about spiritual clothes. Just 1 minute and then we'll carry on. Okay. Now, I know Ridayananda Maharaj has given us a Sanskrit explanation and says the word dhoti is not found in the Bhagavatam. I agree with that, but it is found as dhuti in the Bengali literature because it's a Bengali word and it is found in medieval Bengali literature about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, dhuti, with an U. Okay. So that's there. Kurta, yes, is later addition. Sewn cloth was not part of it. But we can go Bhakti Vijapurna style and, you know, tie your cloth here and there and tie it everywhere and, you know, whatever you wish. There's plenty of opportunities to avoid sewn cloth if you want to go traditional. Although I wouldn't advise it in this climate or with this air conditioner. I would say, so we don't find the word dhoti. We find the word vesha, we find the word vasana when it comes to Krishna. Now that word vesha or vasana can be translated as dress. That's the difficulty. It's not specified. Now, we see Krishna, we see paintings of Krishna, we see early sculpture of Krishna. That's the earliest art we have of Krishna. Like maybe 1,000, 1,500 years BC in Mathura, there's sculpture of Krishna found. So there we see then that Krishna is wearing something which looks really suspiciously like a dhoti, right? It does look. Now, then we have later art, and there Krishna also wears a dhoti. Now, is it that the people of that time were just painting Krishna and putting the dress of their time? Hard to believe. Certainly, when we find that Krishna was wearing a cloth and so on, it really looks very close to what we would call a dhoti. I do have a direct quote that Mother Yasoda was wearing a sari. There you go. Sanskrit, we clearly know, is a language spoken by the devas and in Vaikuntha. Spiritual. And what does, what do the gopis play? Guitar or is it veena? All that, yes. So, my point is that in this world, in India, there's something unique happening. Something of the culture of the spiritual world is reflecting in the culture of India. It is mentioned there are 16,108 ragas that are spiritual. These ragas were chanting by the gopis. It came from a book about music. And Ridayananda Maharaj used it in the purports of the Bhagavatam. I brought it to his attention, and he told me, he said that, yeah, but that was from some music book, I think. I said, yes, but I bet you that it's found in the Sarita Darshini of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And sure enough, and Vishwanath has said, and Vishwanath's words are as good as Shastra Prabhupada said about Satyacharas. Now let me go back to the clothes. So the essence of the clothes are the same clothes that Krishna and his associates were wearing 5,000 years ago. 5,000 years ago in Vrindavan, there was a culture that was completely the culture of the spiritual world. Krishna, when he came down, didn't change his dress. He came in his original dress of the spiritual world. And 5,000 years ago, it was like that. Dhotis, or vasanam, vesh, and saris, yasoda. That we have clearly. So, and some gopi skirts and some dupattas and all that. Fine. So, I think that there's adequate evidence to understand that there is actually, that some of the culture in this movement is actually transparent to the culture of the spiritual world. What did Krishna eat? Luchi chini, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, all the preps. And these milk sweets, sandesh. Prabhupada says, sandesh must be offered to the deity. Not a concoction. When they would try to make some other sweet, Prabhupada would call it a concoction. Do not offer these concoctions. Krishna wants milk sweets. He made it a real point. So I think there is a culture of the spiritual world that came with Srila Prabhupada, and part of it is in the clothes, part of it is in the cooking, part of it is in the melodies, in the kirtan, so many things. You have the last word because we have to carry on and worship Srila Prabhupada.
Yes, thank you. I would. I'm just wondering. This is like, of course, from over 5,000 years ago. This Vedic culture was so prominent, but I'm trying to see also Krishna in all the cultures and all the societies that
Good.
Are here, and you know. Could we make it like patram pushpam palam pizzam, or you know, could we offer also our cultural preparations and not feel like we're not following, that Krishna is not creating that? I mean, then to me, having this barrier of dualism, this is Vedic, this is not, then to me, it belongs a deep, deep sense that they're like two creators, two gods.
Okay. Let's not make it too long because the day belongs to Prabhupada.
Yes. Thank you.
But your point is well taken, that yes, local culture can be there. And still, Krishna has his own culture that's also there. So how to bring the two cultures together? Slow Krishna and Goloka Krishna. How do we bring it? Slovenian culture and Goloka culture. How to bring the two together? That is a question. And that we have to figure out in union, in unity and diversity. And with that, we can worship Srila Prabhupada. Yeah.